And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars.
No!
Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, a Jedi mission finds a lightsaber belonging to the long-dead Master Sifo Dyas, prompting Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Anakin Skywalker to begin an investigation into his decade-old disappearance. There will be reveals, background info, sandstorms. We're talking about the last one this week. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
You got a one and done.
Sort of. It does
sort of. I know. We're doing two tonight, so I was like, yeah, this one's a one and done. And then we opened the next episode, and I was like, it's kind of a one and done.
Yep, there's a little... It's more like a little bleed over from this episode into the next one, more than it being
this one could stand on its own.
Yeah.
So
this one concerns different characters, and yeah, it's a different thing.
Did you have a good week?
I did. The weather here has been very nice.
Today is the first, I have all my windows open right now because it's been in like the upper 80s as of yesterday. And today, like, there's finally the first shifting of fall, and it's like 74 outside, and I have my windows open, and it's lovely.
See, we're in fall, too, but it's more like 62 is more like the equivalent of fall here. So
well,
it's a little
like
cooler.
We've been like 10, 15 degrees above average. Our normal average is like 81. We've been like 92 all week.
We've been having a few fall days and then back into the high 80s and then a few fall days. And, like, the tippy tops of the trees are starting to change colors and stuff. So we're getting there. It'll hit us like a brick any second.
Yeah, our trees don't usually start turning until about October, so we're almost there. Well, at the time that we're recording, by the time this episode comes out, it will be October. So happy October, everybody. Yeah, I had a crazy week. Our store closes in 2 days, and then we have to be out by the end of the month. So, yeah, it's been crazy. Yay.
Get that back in shape.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you guys have some nice hand trucks.
We do. And I don't think it quite hit me yet. I think it's going to hit me when, because I close on our final day. I usually don't work Wednesdays, but I'm working this Wednesday and it's our last day. And I think it's going to hit me when I have a little
turn the sign around from open to close.
Well, I have a little ritual at the end of the night. So we used to have a cardboard cutouts of Batman and Black Panther. And I drew this like little like cat thing with octopus tentacles. And her name is Sharon and she hangs on the pole. And then in front of our security camera TV, we have what we call the Island Guardians. And they're just items that we've found over the years. So there was like 3 rubber ducks. And, like, a little Harley Quinn figure. And a customer gave us, like, a little mini Cthulhu figure. And, like, they're our guardians of our store. And then we always joke that we have a store poltergeist named Cecil. Just, like, when anything weird happens, we blame it on Cecil. So at the end of the night, and my coworker joked around that she was going to make me, like, a children's book of this for Christmas. I say goodnight to them. So as I'm closing up the store, I'm just like, goodnight, Batman. Goodnight, T'Challa. Goodnight, Ducks. Good night, Sharon. Good night, Cecil. Good night, Cthulhu. Good night, store. And then our background on our computer is a Porg, and I always go, Arr! And, like, the last time I do that, I'm just going to be devastated. So actually right now, like, the ducks are gone because they went with Alicia when she left because she actually named the ducks. And T'Challa and Batman have both been bought. So I say Ghost of Batman, Ghost of T'Challa, and Ghost of the Ducks. So it's already started, but, like, that last night, I'm just going to be like, ah! But, so, change is a-coming for me, and we'll see how it goes.
Change is a-coming.
Change is a-coming, but life wouldn't be interesting if we didn't go through hard things, and we wouldn't grow as people unless we had hardships.
As the late Jesus Duarte, my favorite boss, always used to say, the only thing guaranteed in life is change, which I'm sure he got off a calendar or off a poster somewhere. But it always sounded good coming out of him.
Yeah. Speaking of change, these episodes. Did you like this episode?
I did. I have, as I said before we started, I have reservations. I have some, yeah. These two episodes, even this one being a one and done, they're both very strange in some ways. In some ways that I like, in some ways that I don't like. But, you know, we'll get into that as we hit the points.
I should warn you for this first episode. I did it at, like, 12:30 last night. So it probably is full of grammar and misspellings, and you guys can't see it, but, like, I usually type out the trivia. I just, like, took a picture and copy and pasted it.
I saw that. I wondered about that. It actually looks more official because you've got it on, you know, white text on a black background. It looks like actual cited.
That's me hitting the print screen on StarWars.com and copying and pasting. No, it's just I had to go to the mechanic very suddenly today, and so I wasn't sure if I could do both episodes today, so I did one last night, and I started at, like, midnight.
Poor Hope, you've been spending so much time at the human mechanic and the car mechanic lately.
Yeah, well, thank goodness this time, because my car was getting hot on me, and I was, like, at very worst, it's a leak in my coolant season, my coolant system, but at worst, it was a head gasket. Not a head gasket. Woo!
Yes.
And they found the leak, and the nice guys fixed it for free.
I knew it couldn't be too bad because we're doing two shows tonight.
Yeah, I wasn't there. Well, I brought my laptop with me to the mechanic just in case I was there for hours. So I was prepared to do the episodes regardless. But, yeah, yeah. Ha, life is crazy, Chris! Ha, ha, ha!
Ha, 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 ha!
Whoa, that's been my favorite. Crazy. Like, my customers have been like, "How are you doing, Hope?" And I'll just, like, laugh. Just be like,
"Great.
I'm great." it's actually kind of funny. Like, when I was at Dragon Con, a lot of my, like, friends go to Dragon Con and stuff like that. Almost every single one of them, I would be like, "So how's life going right now?" And they'd be like, "It's fine." And I was like, "We're all in the same boat."
It's not in collapse at all.
No, I'm not in horrific student debt with a very terrible job because the job market is awful because the previous generation put us there. No, not at all. So, yeah.
Kind of psyched about the no future thing.
What's retirement?
Who wants to retire?
Never.
That's what life's about.
What's a savings account? All right, you ready to get started in this episode?
I am.
All right. The Lost One is the 118th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on March 7, 2014. It was written by Christian Taylor and directed by Brian Callen O'Connell. Some extra information for you. The mysterious opening sandstorm sequence on the planet of Obadiah's moon, was staged as a tribute to a similar sequence in Steven Spielberg's 1977 film, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. As a further nod to Spielberg's distinct visual style, the night sky over the moon features a shooting star. Sifo Dyas's case files that they pull up in the Jedi library, is file 127456, and it reads, Jedi Master Sifo Dyas died while trying to negotiate peace between the tribes of Felucia. He was aboard a Jedi T-6 shuttle 77519 when it crashed. Much of the information surrounding his death remains confidential under the office of the Chancellor. It is believed his body was eventually recovered and cremated by the Felucian tribes in accordance with Jedi customs. For this reason, there has been little evidence which confirms the location of his disappearance. Further inspection of the matter may be authorized at further date. This episode marks the moment when the Jedi finally discover Count Dooku's Sith name of Tyrannus. It is here when the Jedi surmise that the Sith were involved with the creation of the Clone Army, as the name Tyrannus was whom Jango Fett identified as his mysterious benefactor in Attack of the Clones. And finally, this episode makes it clear that Jedi were not completely ignorant of the mysterious circumstances surrounding the creation of the Clone Army. Rather than be completely oblivious to their fate, a notion expressed in some earlier books, the Jedi in truth were aware of a plot by the war's end, but were helpless to unveil it or stop it in time.
So I'm guessing that last point is one of the things that you have a point of contention with, about how the Jedi like knew about the clones, but then stop it in time? That's my problem with the episode.
Well, they didn't know the clones had
a chip in their brain?
Well, they already knew that. They already figured that out in a couple arcs ago. So, one of my contention is there's not really much they... I mean, they knew that Sifo-Dyas ordered up this army, or at least they know that, you know, the Geonosians claim that he did. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why that's, like, a big, you know... I mean, Obi-Wan actually, like, comes out and says it in this one. Just says, hey, I remember?
Yeah.
I told you guys. You know, so you'd think they would have talked about that in the intervening years since episode 2.
I mean, come on, though. I mean, we've watched 6 seasons of Jedi bullshit. You think they really talked about it?
Well, they were at least aware of it. Yeah. I mean, they must have talked about it because they sent Obi-Wan on a mission to figure it out, you know? He had to report back.
Yeah.
And say the Geonosians said that Sifo-Dyas said that we needed some clones. And they, you know, I mean, it wouldn't take much for them to put the two and two together about, you know, judging with their history of Sifo-Dyas being, you know, a weirdo or whatever, you know? So, yeah, I don't see how it's weird. I just don't see how we'll get more into it as we go into the story, because there's specific story points that it's just like, okay.
You know who's also like, okay.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Yoda.
We're
almost to your arc. Are you excited?
Yoda gets a lot of FaceTime in these episodes.
Yeah, you do.
Earning that paycheck.
Yeah, you are. Chewing that scenery.
Mm-hmm. Yum, yum. Call that food, do you?
Are you excited?
Loaded question, that is.
That is a loaded question, because we were chatting about how unsure Chris was before the start of the episode for next week. But we'll get there. But right now, we're here. So what's the plot of 2 this week, Yoda?
What is lost is often found. In bed.
That's true. I mean,
well, sometimes people get like a lifesaver candy stuck to their butt before they put their pants on.
You know, the clitoris is hard to find.
The what is hard to find?
The clitoris.
Oh, the man in the boat. The boatman.
Yes. The boatman.
I've heard about that guy.
And sometimes it's hard to find, but when you find him, man,
sometimes you could say he was lost.
Yeah, and then that boat gets a rocking.
Lost at sea. Or even worse, he's up shit's creek without a paddle.
Well, you ready for Act 1?
Yeah.
I love how I'm just kind of like, you are. Alright, anyway, Act 1. The Jedi got a distress signal from a ship way out in the boonies of space that they thought was lost. They sent Plo Koon and sassy Commander Wolf out there in the wilds to find it.
on a planet in a sandstorm from hell, all the clones are bitching, and Wolf is like, try harder and shut up. Suddenly, the Wolf Pack pick up a signal from in the storm. Plo and Wolf head out and they find the missing ship. Inside the wreckage, Plo Koon finds what he's been looking for, a lightsaber. He orders everything to be taken back to Coruscant. He tells the Jedi Council exactly what this ship is. The missing ship of Sifo Dyas, the Jedi who commissioned the clone army on Kamino. Obi-Wan gives a summary of episode 2. God, I have so many like misspellings in this because I did this at midnight. A summary of episode 2 in case you haven't seen it. And Wet Blanket Windu adds that Sifo Dyas used to be part of the Jedi Council before the blockade of Naboo, aka episode 1. Before he was kicked off for extreme thinking. Dyas foresaw a great conflict that the Republic would need a grand army, but the Council was like, nah, and kicked him out. And Obi-Wan is like, we've been wrong a lot lately. Pour one out for Ahsoka. And the creation of the clone army was kept secret from them, so they are hoping that recovering Dyas' stuff, they can finally figure it out. And they start to investigate. Our Jedi Council heads over to the library to talk to the legendary hidden badass in disguise, Jocasta motherfucking Nu. And I'll explain why I'm praising her when I get to my notes. This badass bitch pulls up Sifo Dyas's file like an awesome badass. And their records say that Sifo Dyas died on Felucia negotiating between some tribes, and there's no information on what happened to his body. The files have been sealed. Can you guess who sealed them? It starts with a Papa and ends with a Palpatine, because of course it does. And Windu has his skeptical about Palpatine face on with this new knowledge. And Yoda says that Anakin and Obi-Wan will go to Felucia to see if they can find anything about Sifo Dyas. Yoda will personally question Palpatine himself. What do you think of Act 1?
It got me all wound up. At first.
It's an exposition drop of, and like, in case you haven't seen episode 1 or 2, here you go.
My first note was like, oh, is this going to be a ghost ship story? I love ghost ships. You know, we found the ship of Sifo Dyas. So it's like, okay, cool. And then when they get down onto the planet, I can totally see now the Close Encounters, you know, the tribute there, but to me it reminded me more of the beginning of the first Alien movie when they're walking through a sandstorm to find the abandoned alien ship. So it really, like, you know, really, like, felt more alien than Close Encounters. And what the hell is extreme thinking? Isn't that like doing the Sunday New York Times with a pen or something? Because
Qui-Gon was considered an extremist.
But yeah.
And like, he was like the chillest bro in the universe.
This was just a big, giant, and then it just turns into what you just said, an exposition drop. And the only like question I came out of it with, which was my last note, and I had more notes on this part, but I couldn't tell where the parts began and ended, so they're for the next part. But how the hell can why the hell is a Chancellor getting to block Jedi shit, shit? Yeah, that shouldn't be. That's all inside the Jedi halls. There should be No, the Chancellor shouldn't even be able to see that stuff. Why should he? So that I thought that was kind of weird, and I that's what I would have thought. The Jedi, I mean, obviously they know what, there's some reason that there is that, but I wouldn't think the Jedi would put up with that shit personally.
Yeah, first and foremost, like my main note, well, not my main note, but like my first kind of like shallow note is I love the visual of the sandstorm. It's beautiful. Like, even when they're inside, like, Sifo Dyas' ship, you have, like, the sand particles floating around and all the lighting is, like, cloudy. And I hear you over there. I hear you. You're fine. Go play. But, like, this entire section with the, like, sandstorm with the ship is just gorgeous. Like, the Wolf Pack has their sand suits on, and they have, like, new armor. It's great.
Well, that's why I was getting all into it, because it was just starting out as really moody and mysterious. So I was like, all right. And it's also, you know, immediately bringing up Sifo-Dyas, who I always assumed was just generally another name for Sidious, you know, even though.
Oh!
Yeah, I just thought it was some proxy of Sidious, you know. So, yeah, I didn't know. Okay, now we've specified, although I should have known because, you know, they could have looked up his file and said, why is, you know, and plus Palpatine couldn't have passed himself off as a Jedi and then gone back to Naboo and been a senator and all that. It wouldn't have made sense. But that's what I sort of thought might have been happening when I heard it in episode 2. But, okay, so now he's a specific Jedi, and he looks like a, and maybe they got that picture out of maybe something from comics or something or EU stuff, you know, because he looked very, you know, he's got the long hair and...
He looks very stereotypical Jedi.
Yes.
Like, when I think of Jedi, like, I'm like, yeah, a lot of them look like this if they're human.
He had the rebel Jedi look, you know.
You know, he does kind of look like Kanan when his hair is long. Like if Kanan was like 20 years older.
And he had a little more like, oh, what was the name of the guy who was the stalker Jedi? The tracker.
Quinlan Vos.
Yeah, he had a little Quinlan.
Stalker Jedi.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, sorry, I meant
stalking
the tracker.
And tracking are two totally different things.
Well, stalking is the same thing, but it has a different connotation these days. It has a different meaning for sure. He's like the Jedi that, like, Anakin was like, he won't leave me alone. Quinlan Vos, why don't you go away?
You know, Obi-Wan's like, you're not friends. And he's like, we're friends.
You can't
bro.
Come to my party.
What? Why do you want over there? You're being so loud.
I like run into him everywhere, like he knows where I'm going to be and like he's waiting for me.
And he makes Ahsoka feel uncomfortable.
And like he came over and he like sniffed me. And then like after that, he's always around.
Yeah, anyway. I finally get up and my cat was like, bye. Got out of my chair to go see what she wanted, and she wasn't even there anymore. Ugh, what a bitch. But I have a question for you.
Yes?
And now that I'm reading it, I'm going to make this a two-parter question. Did you ever think we would get answers about who Sifo-Dyas was in Clone Wars? And then follow up, do you think that we needed answers about who Sifo-Dyas was in Clone Wars?
Well, this is part of the thing. My thing with this is, no, I didn't think we'd ever get answers about Sifo-Dyas in Clone Wars, but two, I don't think we really got a lot of answers.
We have no idea who he really was as a person because they just kind of talk about him.
We don't know what, you know. We just know, like, basically. Just like pulling up his file, he was here. This is he was doing this when he died, and that we know that
he was extremist, whatever that means.
He's an extreme thinker. He could play like 3D chess, like 5 3D chess games in his head and win them all. And
we
like,
knew that he foresaw the Clone Wars coming,
right.
And that the Order didn't believe him,
and that presumably he went renegade and ordered up the clones. With money from who knows where, never addressed. And,
I think it's from Tyrannus.
And so, you know, like answering questions about him would be exactly like that. Would be like, was he working with Tyrannus? You know, I mean, you know, who in the wider scheme of the Force, he could have been a good Jedi or a Sith, you know. He could have been, you know, knowing, okay, this is going to bring, you know, the Emperor to power someday. But at the same time, he could be like, this is like a necessary step in the eventual balance of the Force or what. So who knows, you know, and especially if he's an extreme thinker, he could have been a good guy and thought it was the right thing to do or whatever. But that would have been like answering questions if you found out that. If you found out that he was, you know... what his relationship is, but we don't. We basically sort of find out the same stuff, but we get to see his lightsaber and his ship. And that's about it. And we get to see the Jedi, like, freaking out about, you know, freaking out about their whole involvement in the clones about, what, 10 years too late? Or what? Or how many years have they had the clones now? Like, 5 years?
No, I mean, it's not that long. Clone Wars is only 2 to 3 years long.
Okay, so they've had 3 years to think about, you know, the moral implications of the clones, how they got them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now they're like, oh, this is kind of sketchy, you know?
Now it's sketchy.
Yeah, it's way too little too late. But nothing's very revelatory, you know? There's nothing really that's like changes anything radically, if at all, or fills in anything that we didn't really know, you know? It just sort of gives you a look at some of the hardware involved in it.
I would have liked this if it was more like revealing Sifo Dyas as a person. Like, if we had, like, case files of, instead of, like, them telling us that he's an extremist, like, maybe they had a recording of him before the Jedi Council arguing about, like, hey, we need an army.
Or they bring out Joe Camel and he goes, oh, yeah, I could tell you all about him because I'm old as shit, you know? Same with Yoda. Yoda's old as shit, too, you know? So, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been as good story-wise and continuity-wise to have it be Yoda. But, like, yeah, have Joe Camel come out and go, like, yeah, he was one of my best friends, you know? Although he did study under Yoda, so.
Oh, everybody studies under Yoda.
Right, right.
But, yeah, like, on one hand, I was just, like, I never thought we would get a story about Sifo Dyas. So when we were doing this, like, the first time I saw this, I was just like, whoa. But, like, as I was watching it again, I was like, what did we actually really learn at all about the dude other than what we kind of, not quite already knew, but a lot of what we already knew.
We know what he looks like.
Yeah, that's new. Yay!
You know, but I mean, that's what I mean. It's basically, it reminds me of, you know, the Dark Horse age of, like, maybe a Star Wars Tales comic, you know, with a story, you know, where they mention Sifo Dyas and stuff, but, you know, they can't really, like, flesh in his whole backstory, so it's just made out of what they have. Although they can do whatever they want, because this was all under George Lucas's auspices. So, but yeah, it really all there's stuff it does, but it's mostly just illustrating stuff we already know, but is just ramping up, and that the Jedi they're screwed. They know stuff, and there's going to be more of it in next episode where they're like, things are going all bugger up, and they know it. They can't sense the dark side, so they don't know what's coming, where it's coming from, and they're freaking out in their own Jedi way, and this is just an added thing, and nothing they're going to do now is going to be like calm, efficient Jedi stuff. They're in the middle of a war and they're freaking out.
This arc has kind of been about that. I mean, if you look at, like, well, this entire season, starting kind of last season, like, everything with Ahsoka, which was, like, we got to see people protesting the war, like, not trusting the Jedi, and pretty much, end of season 5 going into season 6 has all been, like, the Jedi, like, just slowly losing their composure.
It's all coming apart at the seams, And so, yeah, so they find out Sifo Dyas, you know, or they get it even more underlined that Sifo Dyas was somehow responsible for the clones, and, you know, there's something sketchy with the clones with their chip and all that, but it's all just part of the mess that's going on now, so it all just sort of gets jumbled together and not dealt with in any efficient manner. I think they just sort of take it, you know, knocking bits of rubble out of the way as they can.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you want to illustrate where it is in the story, but it's just nothing, you know, particularly, like, new, you know, as far as, or just like, oh my God, I can't believe that's what happened there. Yeah.
I know, I kind of like watching the Jedi flounder, though, because I think it's such a big part of Clone Wars is watching them lose their power so Palpatine can rise.
They kind of deserve to flounder. That's the thing is, you don't like the Sith, but at the same time, the Jedi have become something that's not good either. So it's sort of like when you see them flounder, you can't, you're like, yeah, you're the good guys, but man... Yeah, you kind of got it coming in a way. I don't know if "got it coming" is the right way. Yeah, but it's
they've had it coming since season one when Pappy Lerman looked at right at them and said, "Why are you fighting this war, you peacekeepers?" Yeah. Pappy Lerman called it. I know you hate those Lerman.
I do, but I'm man enough to admit when a Lerman is right.
Yeah,
and that and Pappy Lerman did know what he was talking about, but goddamn it, he was annoying.
And then my last note, and I mentioned this when I was reading the act, that like why I was like that badass motherfucker Jocasta Nu. This is Jocasta Nu's last appearance in the Clone Wars, and the reason I'm just showcasing it because I probably won't be talking about it when we get to I don't know. I'll talk about it probably in more depth when we get to Rebels. But I've never been in my life so excited to see Jocasta Nu. And she's always just been kind of like a background character. She was like the little old lady in the Ahsoka episode when Ahsoka and Cad Bane were like, had the shapeshifter and stuff like that. And she was in episode 2 and, you know, she's always just kind of there. But oh man, if you have been reading the current Darth Vader comic by Charles Soule, you will know what I am speaking of. Because in Volume 2, Jocasta Nu comes in, and my fucking god, she is a force to be reckoned with. And pretty much what it is that she escaped the Jedi Purge, and she's been pretty much trying to put all of her knowledge into, like, a secret place so the Jedi Order can be restored. But there's one thing that she needs that she doesn't have, and it's the holocron with all the list of Force-sensitive children, which is still in the Jedi Library. And she faces off and stands her ground against both the Grand Inquisitor and Darth Vader. And it's fucking amazing! Like, she's just like, bitch, get out of my library! And she fights them, and it's so good. And I've never had, like, such deep love of Jocasta Nu. So when I saw she was in the episode, I was like, yeah, you look like a cute little old librarian, but I know that if you take your lightsaber and put it inside a gun, you're going to make a big old blast and shoot Vader into the next building. Let's go. So I've never been so excited to see Jocasta Nu. So please go read the current Darth Vader comic by Charles Soule. It's so good and so amazing. So yeah, that's why I was all like, motherfucking badass, Jocasta Nu. Hi, I fangirled. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're nerds. We love librarians.
Yeah, especially badass librarians.
They're all badass. Come on.
Yep. So, so good.
Comes with the job. It's baked into the job.
But that's all I have for Act 1. Did you have anything else?
Nope.
All right.
I'm ready to get into the more political bibble babble. Bibble babble.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, this was a hard episode.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Anyway, Act 2. Time for Yoda and Palpatine to play niceties with each other. Palpatine's all like, oh dear, oh me, old man me, I've never heard of the name Sifo Dyas, gee whiz, but why are you looking into this dude's demise? And Yoda's like,
your goddamn business, it is not. Trouble you with Jedi business, I will not.
And Palpatine's like, that's so sweet, you're getting 2 life day cards this year. When was this Siffy Dial killed? And Yoda says it was over 10 years ago, and Palpatine is like, golly gee, that's the answer. It was the previous Chancellor Valorum who must have sealed it. Dead end for you. You should go speak with him. And Yoda leaves and gets a call from Obi-Wan and Anakin. And the Felucian said when Dyas died, there was a second Jedi with them. But because the people speak in an ancient dialect, Obi-Wan either can't understand the name of the second Jedi or the Flutians don't know the name. They cremated Diaz's body and found another dead end. Yoda heads off to Valorum's house. The old Chancellor greets him and they get to business. Turns out Valorum sent Diaz on a secret mission to neutralize the Pike Syndicate. You know, the same group that Maul worked with last season and showed up in the Solo movie, just so we're connecting canon. And the reason it was secret was because they didn't want to legitimize the drug trade going on and give political power to the people in favor of the trade in the Senate. The Jedi Council had no idea any of this was going on. Valorum can't remember the exact timing, but he also has no idea what Yoda is talking about when he brings up the second Jedi. There is no second Jedi. The only other person was Valorum's personal aide, Silman, who died with Diaz. Both were sent to Felucia to stop a flare-up of drug activity when they met their demise. Meanwhile, Palpatine does a Fab Five transformation, grabbing his most fabulous cloak from his wardrobe. He Skypes Dooku, wondering why the Jedi are looking into Sifo Diaz. Dooku has no idea where the sudden trail came from, and Palpatine force chokes him, telling him to eliminate the loose end, and Dooku leaves for the Pikes. All the Jedi come back together and piece everything that they don't know. They got a dead Jedi, a mystery Jedi, and a missing Chancellor's aide. The only thing they know is that the Pike of Obadiah was mentioned among all of this, and Diaz's crashed ship was on the moon of Obadiah. Yoda sends Anakin and Obi-Wan to the Pikes to investigate. Bye-bye!
Yeah, a lot of talk.
Yeah, though I do think it's kind of cool to see the previous Chancellor, because I actually forgot that he was, like, in episode one. And mm-hmm. So I was like, what? And I Googled him, and I was like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he actually got to retire and go live his life and
live a nice life.
Yeah. And didn't have to become he was a nice bloodless victim in Dooku's. Or in Dooku, in Sidious's rise to power.
Yeah. Maybe he was like a fellow... No, I was about to say maybe he was a fellow Naboo bro, but I saw that his homeworld was Coruscant.
He was just too early in the plan, so he got out, you know, real light, real easy. But, there's a lot of political bibble-babble going on here. I like the sort of mention of the spice, you know, as a sort of Dune-like reference. But all in all, that's all it was just some more, just another. It's like one interesting thing, and then exposition dump. And the interesting thing in this to me was that the shine is way off on Dooku. You know now. You know, instead of just being like, hey, Dooku, I'm so disappointed in you, he's force choking him and like, look, you're not long for this world, dude. You know,
yeah.
It's, he's, you know, so that scene's a nice setup for episode three. So that was neat. And then that was enough to, you know, action to get me through the exposition dump. Once again, not really anything that you need to know there, except, okay, we're sending someone to the Pikes to talk. And that's about it.
Yeah, I didn't have much. I do really enjoy the Palpatine-Yoda scene, because I think Palpatine's in fine form as him and Yoda are going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is just... And Tim Curry is just eating up being Palpatine.
Yes, he is. He's enjoying it.
He really is. It's just
Tim Curry usually enjoys himself, so that's always great to see him anyway.
Yeah, I really do like when Palpatine was like, what's his name? Sifo, what was his name? And I'm like, you know, Palpatine knows exactly who Sifo Diaz was. I liked that part. My next note is I do like Yoda's little jab at politics in general. He says that, like, after he was talking to Palpatine, he was pointed in another direction and says, as these things go. And I was like, that's a nice little job in politics, because nothing ever goes forward.
Yes.
I wrote this note at, like, midnight last night. What did I say? Okay, yeah, I remember this note. Okay. But my big note for this section is I find it really interesting that there is a continuation of individual Jedi, not like them as a whole, but like single Jedi that continue to undermine the council. Here we find out it's the politics of the Senate who sent Sifo Dyas on a secret mission that the council didn't know about. Earlier last season, we had Anakin tell Ahsoka in her last arc that certain Jedi have been opposing the war, and that the council being involved with it, and the Jedi Council being involved with the war, which we then saw Bear So Free be part of that. And then we know from Rebels in the current Darth Vader comic that the Grand Inquisitor was one of those Jedis, and if you're reading the Vader comic, the other Inquisitors were also fallen Jedis that were not on board with the Council. So, and then we also have Krell and Dooku. So more and more, like, these, it's not them all as a group, like the 10,000 Jedis. It's these individuals that are making the Council lose its grip, and they're really starting to lose their authority. And I was thinking, like, you know, we always talk about how, like, Anakin and Kanan and Ezra are so different, and later on Luke and Rey, because they're more individuals.
Or in Qui-Gon.
And how the Council probably wouldn't have liked them. And but we're seeing it's these individuals that are causing the most change in the Jedi.
Yeah, and Qui-Gon too was.
And Qui-Gon.
And we'll see in the next episode.
But I find that funny. Like, you have this organization that's been around for like thousands of years. There's 10,000 of them, but it's these single people that are starting to really make things change.
That's very Star Wars-y.
Yep. And the change is not even in the best interest of the Jedi.
No.
But do you think maybe
not
like
in
it's
the short term anyway?
Yeah, I mean that's a valid point. That's what I was about to note. But do you think it's good in the long term? Like, this is like what the Force actually kind of wants, because there's not balance right now. There's so much good side versus very little dark side, and there's not so much balance.
Well, the Jedi we see as a mass organized group were not very, you know. I think that's why a lot of people, besides all the technical details of the prequels, one of the disappointing things was the Jedi were not all noble, you know, sort of
space wizard.
Yeah, they are not even as much wizards as sort of like Eastern religion masters, you know, like, you know, just sort of more like what's his name in Rogue One?
Chirrut.
Chirrut was more like what I think most people would picture a Jedi as, somewhere between Chirrut and Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, someone more of like, let's figure out a way to sneak around us instead of killing everybody here, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, not really having much of a hierarchy or, you know, sort of organized thing. It would seem like more like they would spend their time in meditation more than anything else. So, yeah, I think the Jedi as they evolved had sort of like maybe gone past their usefulness to the Force at that point, you know. And the Force used the Sith as a tool to do it.
Yeah. The Force was just like, you know what? You're a bureaucracy and government officials now, and that's not your job.
Yeah, we gotta pare this down to a few to a few of the Jedis who, like, you know, man, like, they really get it, man. The Obi-Wans, the Yodas, you know, the guys who really
get it. And the Kanan Jarrus's, who almost died on the streets because nobody taught him how to survive.
Yeah, you know. I mean, Luke Skywalker gets the cliff notes from Obi-Wan, and it's they're the most hippie-like aspect of the Jedi, you know. There's none of this like, well, I don't know, Luke, you're too old, I can't start teaching you know, Jedi ways or something. He knows, I just have to give him a few hints and he'll figure it out because he's got the Force, you know. And it's sort of a faith in the Force, you know, that the Force will work through Luke correctly, whether, you know, I think, which is something I think probably Yoda understood more than Obi-Wan, but.
Actually, Yoda wanted to train Leia and not Luke. He didn't think Luke was good enough. And Obi-Wan was like, no, you must train Luke. Sorry, It was in the book From a Certain Point of View.
Oh, okay, right. I was trying to remember where I'd heard that, where that was from again. I was like, was that from a book or a comic?
Yeah, in the book A Certain Point of View, after Obi-Wan dies, his Force ghost visits Yoda. And he's explaining, he was like, you need to train Luke. And Yoda's like, no, I want to train Leia. Like, Leia's the one that has the discipline and the thoughts. And he even says, like, Luke is untrainable. And Obi-Wan's like, no, you have to trust me. You have to be Luke.
Yeah, Leia's definitely more disciplined. But I think if I was thinking about it, I would think Leia might be more susceptible to the dark side than Luke, even though Luke's more emotional. Luke has just got that, like, tried and true puppy dog thing. Leia might be corrupted by power easier.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think, like,
Leia being Obi-Wan a princess, wanted a star-eyed kid.
He likes them star-eyed boys. No, but I think, like, Luke is more raw in the Force than Leia. And that's why, like, because he was so just removed from everything. But, like, you're right. Like, Leia was a politician. She was a princess. She was a senator. So, like, she's more around those kind of, like, dark side sort of things.
But also playing devil's advocate or actually more Yoda's advocate, sending Leia against Darth Vader would have been, I think, psychologically a lot better idea, because he would have seen her and seen Padme, you know? That would have been a big punch in the gut, you know? So especially if the Emperor started zapping her, you know? I mean, he wasn't too happy when he did it with Luke, but yeah. So, yeah, that would have been an interesting... There's actually one of the... I think it's Star Wars Infinities, it was called. One of the alternate future Dark Horse did them. They did alternate versions of all the movies, but they basically did the whole trilogy, but they did it from the standpoint of, like, the first one they did, if something totally different happened in you know, A New Hope, and then it was if the second one is if everything went the same way in A New Hope, it's something with different in Empire. And there was one of them where Luke, I believe it was the Empire one, where Luke died in the snow battle, and Leia ended up training with Yoda, and that was a really neat one. I highly recommend those.
Oh, this is amazing! I would love to read them. But yeah, that's all I have for Act Two.
Okay, I'd like to say let's get to the part where we get into the meat of the story, but still not a lot of meat.
It's a little bit more meat.
A little bit more. I got some stuff that I like in this one. I don't want to sound like I don't like this episode, because I do like this episode. It's just there's a lot of things that were disappointing to me.
Well, you should be critical of the things that you like.
Oh, I have no problem. Yeah. I don't need to affirm that. Yeah, I got it.
Well,
I'm all over it.
Act 3. Obi-Wan and Anakin arrive on Obadiah. By the way, every time I say Obadiah, I think of, like, a little Amish grandfather. Obadiah. They come before Lom Pike, who was last seen hanging out with Maul last season until he got out of that mess. And he's all like, whoa, Jedi, nice, because he's all high and stuff. And Lom says that Sifo Dyas was there, but that's the last of him, and they have no idea about a crash ship. Obi-Wan noticed Lom Pike's necklace that was noted last act as Sylvan's necklace, a symbol of the previous Chancellor, and Lom is like, this was fun, you should go home now. And Anakin rips the necklace off of him, demanding answers why Lom has it. And Lom fesses up that they have Sylmon. Taking them to Sylmon, Lom says that they made alliances to get up on other crime families. And one of this was clearly getting close to the 1 a.m. mark when I wrote this. And one was a man named Tyrannus. And Obi-Wan is like, oh, I know that name. He commissioned the clone army on Kamino. Tyrannus paid the Pikes to shoot down Diaz's ship, When they investigated, the Pikes found Dias dead, but Soman was still alive. They gave Tyrannus Dias' body, but kept Soman as insurance. And now they can deal. The Pikes will give the Jedi Soman, and the Jedi can forget about them killing Sifo Dias. Obi-Wan and Anakin go into the cell and find Soman all meek and crazy. Soman says that he was forgotten and wants to give food to his babies. And Anakin's like, yeah, he's crazy. We might have a problem here. Meanwhile, Dooku arrives on the Pike planet. Dooku kills his way through the doors. And back with the Jedi, Soman isn't making much sense until Soman finally starts to give them an answer. But then he's force choked to death. And there's Dooku, and the Jedi kung fu fight him! And it's an awesome fight! And Lom shows up with his guards and calls Dooku by the name Tyrannus. And Obi-Wan and Anakin are like, what? You're Tyrannus? Oh my god! Tyrannus is a Sith Lord! Who would have thought? And Dooku reveals that he was the other Jedi, was Sifo Dias, who had in turn helped Dooku because he understood what was coming. Obi-Wan says that that's a lie, but who knows, because it's actually not really clear and never clearly stated, so I don't know. And asks the Pikes for their aid. And now Dooku is fighting everyone. He kills Lon Pike and jumps off the side of a building onto a ship that's leaving. Obi-Wan throws Anakin to the ship and continues to fight Dooku. Dooku calls his own ship, hops on it, and escapes into the night. Our heroes call into the Jedi Council, and now they're in a pickle. They have an army of lovely clone babies who was created by their enemy. If they make this public knowledge, it would then make the people lose faith in the war, the Republic, the Senate, and the Jedi Council. They decide not to make this public knowledge, and Anakin does not look too happy with this idea. Yoda says that the clones are valiant men and precious, and they must be protected at all costs. And they must believe in their clones to win the war before the enemy can use them to strike the Jedi. Windu drops the wet blanket of uncertainty on top of Yoda, and he wonders if this is the right plan. And even Yoda doesn't know if this is the right path, but it's their only path. And for now, they have to play Palpatine's game. The end.
Or they don't even know whose game they're playing. They just know they have to play it.
Yep.
Well,
what'd you think?
The fight was great. I mean,
it's actually one of my more favorite Star Wars fights.
the way he just like gets up on, when Anakin gets up on the ship, he's just like, oh jeez, and like basically just like cuts the ship in half, you know, just cripples it until his own ship comes to pick him up is just epic. It's beautifully animated too. It's very Star Warsy.
You know, something I was like thinking about, I didn't put it as a note, but we've been talking about, like, every time Anakin and Dooku fights, Anakin gets better against him. And this is just, like, this is the best he's ever faced Dooku up until Dooku cripples the ship. And, because, you know, episode 2, he loses his limbs. And then, like, every time in Clone Wars they fought, he gets better and better and better and better. And we're right at the threshold of episode 3 when he beats him.
When he's good enough. But at the same time, Dooku's still a cocky bastard. He does that, like, one hand behind his back fighting style that's really cool.
And it's like a fencer.
And he breaks out a few moves that I noticed were Yoda moves, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he trained under Yoda, you know? So, like, he had a couple of Yodas, like, one where he, like, a sort of horizontal spinny move that he did. Yeah. So it was,
and I do like his line of, like, they're like, Dooku, doing your dirty work? He's like, well, sometimes it's just that important. I really liked that line of Dooku's.
But, you know, and I liked his line, and basically the line that, you know, where, you know, they're like, what the hell, you know, what the hell, Dooku, you made the clones? And he's just like, dude, I told you guys everything in episode 2. he's like, you know, I told you everything, you know, that you needed to know back on, I want to say, it's not Geonosis. What's the one with the bugs?
It's Geonosis.
And he's like, I told you everything you needed to know on Geonosis. You know, when he had him, when he had Obi-Wan all shackled up. And it's true. So, once again, we haven't really learned much anything. The Jedi sort of learned something, but it's something that we already knew. So, you know, and they obviously are going to have to keep their lids on this, because we don't hear about it in episode 3. But yeah, it's an interesting wrinkle, but it once again, we don't really learn a lot.
Yeah.
And that's all I got for notes. Except for Silman was a kind of cool as Space Gollum.
Yeah.
That was but that's about it. That's about all I got to say.
My first note is, what are the chances that Lompike just so happens to be wearing that necklace of the Chancellor's that day?
Well, maybe he wears it every day.
No, because I actually went back and looked through the Maul stuff when he was with Maul last season, and he is not wearing that necklace.
Ah.
He just so happened to be wearing it that day.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed my. I had another note, but I thought it was in the last part. The Pike set where they met him in his sort of throne room was very Ralph McQuarrie looking. It looked very much more like Rebels, you know. And they had a sort of guy who was hanging out in a seat who was sort of a Wolfman-y sort of guy. And he's from a Ralph McQuarrie painting from Mos Eisley from the first Star Wars movie. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool. I actually do one thing I like about this is that in episode 3, they knew that Dooku was Tyrannus. So I'm actually glad that they showed how that they figured out that Dooku was Tyrannus. And I like how they did that. And I think they've always knew that Dooku was a Sith Lord. They just didn't know his name. And then the fact that they didn't know that Tyrannus was a Sith Lord. So at least it's all here.
Yeah, it sort of lines it all up, yeah.
All the ducks are in a row.
All the shit's in one sock.
Yeah, so, and then you can burn the sock. So, Sifo Dyas may or may not have joined Dooku. It's really unclear. What do you think?
I don't know. I tend to think that he did, or... Actually, if I had to really guess, I would say that he more got manipulated, and Dooku sort of manipulated him Palpatine style in order to do that. So that's what I would sort of think.
I think it comes down to when he ended up dead. And I think it comes down to like when it was set, because we know that the clones were commissioned during episode 1. It was during the invasion of Naboo, and that's when Sifo Dyas like got kicked out of the Order and stuff like that because Mace said so. And at the time, Dooku didn't leave the Jedi Order until closer to Episode 2, and that was 10 years later. So it could have been like Dooku was already shifted to the dark side before he left. So and like was already working there. So like maybe if he hadn't officially left the Order, Sifo Dyas could have thought that Dooku was still a Jedi and probably trusted him. But if Dooku had already left the Order and fallen to the dark side, then Dyas just followed a Sith Lord.
Well, yeah, but if he was following a Sith Lord, he would probably be more of an asset as a live Jedi. So he probably wouldn't use him for one task and then kill him. Because I don't think that he was just, like, killed, you know, in negotiations or something. It was probably an assassination. So he was probably a good...
They say in the episode that Dooku paid the Pikes to shoot down a ship.
Right, right. So he was probably a good guy, you know. So that's why he became a dead end. If not, he would have been used for more stuff because as a Jedi going to the dark side, he would be very useful, you know.
Yeah.
So... I think he's just another stooge.
And then I have one more big note, and it has two parts. This is my one gripe of the episode. I understand why they don't want to tell the public about a Sith creating the clone army. That makes sense because they're like 3 years in the war. We've seen that the public is already against like the clones in the war, that they're getting tired of it. But after what happened with Tough Fives earlier in the season, I feel like the Jedi should at least be more wary around their clones. Like, yeah, the clones are precious babies and they're adorable, but I feel like this kind of undermines Order 66. Because the Jedi, you know, if the Jedi keep this knowledge among themselves, they can at least be watching their own backs. And so they should be at least looking out for something with Order 66. Like, they don't know what will happen and how they will be used, but they at least know to be wary of the clones. But when you watch episode 3, they're like, doo-doo-doo, fighting with my clones. Oh my god, I'm dead. And I feel like this actually undermines episode 3 a little bit.
No, I don't know if I would go that far.
I feel like it. Why wouldn't you go that far?
I could see them very easily just slipping all their doubts about the clones into the back of their mind in just denial at this point, because there's so much stuff for them to deal with. At the one point, at least the clones are their only, you know, army. So they're sort of stuck with them. So it's probably just a lot easier for them to be like, okay. And when you're in battle, I could see them totally not thinking about their clones turning on them, especially since you've been in battle with them and you trust them. Despite whether you know they have chips or not, for the most part, they haven't been malfunctioning. So for the vast most part, so I could totally see them just like in the midst of war and chaos, just letting it slide.
Yeah, I get that. But then I came up with a Clone Wars theory. Hmm. So when they make the decision about not telling the public or the Senate or even the clones about how the Sith have created the army, if you look at Anakin's face, he does not look happy about Yoda saying that and about them covering all this up. Like, he actually looks at Obi-Wan, and they actually show his face a couple times, and he's not happy about this.
Right.
And after what happened earlier in the season with Fives, which Anakin was there for, and he was present for, and he saw, and these were his own men. Tup and Fives were his men. And now he knows that the Sith helped create this, and he knows that there's a chip in their brain. I think he tells Rex about all this. I think he goes to Rex, he's like, this is what's happening. I think that Tup and Fives were not a thing, and we know that the Sith created you guys. And I think this is what happens to get Rex to take out his chip so he doesn't participate in Order 66.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I can also see them making that decision because I don't know how much good it would be for them to be open about it anyway, you know, at this point. It's just going to cause more trouble, more dislike towards the Jedi, you know. And yeah, they could be open and honest about it, but I don't think it would help the solve anything, you know, mm-hmm. as to the mystery of it or where they're at with it. It all depends on what the Jedi do with it, which turns out to be probably nothing, it seems like.
The Jedi are kind of dumb. We keep coming back to this point. The Jedi are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb Jedi. But yeah, that's my Clone Wars theory. I'm sticking to it. Good question, but I kind of know how you feel after we've talked about it. You got a one and done. How are you?
I'm reasonably happy about it.
Okay.
One of the fun things about one and dones is they're usually a little lighter and less, you know, we just had two of them with Jar Jar, you know, so okay. But, I mean, they're usually, this one was just heavy. I get this feeling that, you know, we're getting towards the end of the series, and they had this one season, and they wanted to get a lot of stuff in. And that's what this one felt like. It felt like, let's get a lot of information dumped in it. And
what makes me wonder is, like they didn't think that this was the last season, though. Like, they had plans through season 8.
It feels that way to me. It feels like there was a lot of information put into there. Maybe they needed to do that to get where they were going or whatever, but it seemed like a lot of information. But really, I didn't learn to, you know, there weren't any real big revelations for me. But by the same point, the cool stuff in it was really, visually, it was a really cool episode, and it had an epic, insane battle, and the mood at the beginning was fantastic. And, you know, I'm complaining about it, but at the same point, I enjoyed it. So yeah, you want my score?
Yep, I was just about to say, score it up, Chris.
I'm giving it a 7.5-er.
Ooh.
Yeah, not maybe just because I got like really like pumped up for it at the beginning, and then I just was like, okay, it's a lot of chit chat, but not bad. It's not a bad score.
Yeah. For me, I like the episode. I do think it adds to the Clone Wars lore a lot. And I think it adds to the prequels, too, and helps connect the dots between, like, episode 2 to episode 3. We do get some on Sifo Dyas. I do kind of wish we got, like, more about him as a person instead of just, like, facts like, he died here, this happened, he was extreme. But it was, like, as a name that was dropped randomly in episode 2, it's nice to have something of him. I'm on the fence about how I feel about why the Jedi are discussing about clones, but you brought up a lot of good points, so you kind of quilled that a little bit. And I liked it. It's a one and done, and it had a lot of great scenes, so I give it an 8 out of 10. And what I was telling Chris beforehand, like, for this episode, I kind of scored it about, like, not the fact that I like the episode that much, but I feel like it's important in Clone Wars lore.
It is, but that didn't necessarily make it a better episode for it. But it is a standout. It is a standout episode as far as Star Wars continuity goes.
Yeah, so that's kind of why I kind of scored it a little bit on the higher side. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Facebook page, and we do episodes again just to get us a little caught up. And this is our Comic-Con episode review, we were talking also fan fiction with my friend Megan and Mama 2. The Shandy. And oh, I didn't put who this was. Do Mom and Wine 2, I figure out who I accidentally clipped off here.
Okay. So about Mom and Wine 2, our Star Trek crossover episode, we got one from Patrick Delmore who said, last one was gold. Yes, it was. All right. And then Hope Molinex said in reply, sadly, I didn't drink as much this time because I was recovering from food poisoning a few days earlier. Man, just in the hospital all the time. Luckily, Mom and Billy did plenty of drinking for me. Yes, they did. Shandying it up. And then I said, Mom rises to the occasion, or more kind of like sits on the floor for the occasion. But, you know what we're talking about. Then Gene Hendricks said, listening while driving to work? Ha, I listen at work. Listening while driving to work could almost be like, to this episode, could almost be like DWI. And he says, got to get those TTF bonus points. And that's right, just a reminder for everybody, you get bonus points for listening to Two True Freaks while you're at work. All right, Paul C. Kelly chimes in with, I stayed tuned until the end too. Smiley face. Great haunted house stories with Hope's mom. You might have to get her on the Vault of Haunted Tales of Terror. Well, that would be interesting. There hasn't been any drinking on that show yet. Yeah. All right, did we figure out who did the...
I did, I added it.
It was Gene, so I don't have to do a voice. Maybe I should just do Gene like he does the intro to this show. That was a fun episode to listen to, especially the two different takes on the old versus new EU. I think it goes without saying that I'm in Megan's camp on it, but that's because I started way back with the original Lando and Han trilogies.
I was thinking like you could do it to his song, like, that was a fun episode to listen to, especially the two different takes on the old and the new versus EU.
Hope, that's way too much work for me. Speaking of work, let's get to our most strenuous task of the day.
In case you don't know what we're doing, Fake American Kit Kat, and our friend Dario sends us Kit Kats, sends us candy from all over the world to review. So thank you, Dario. I have a TQ bar. Whatever that is.
A what?
A cheek little black thing. It says, is that fetish? What, Quagsire bar? No, a Teta. A Teta bar.
It says premium Ghana cocoa, so it might be from Ghana.
I'm trying to find it on our list. I'm assuming it's from Ghana. I don't know where this is from. I don't know where this comes from, but we're gonna eat it. Thanks, Dario.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna say Ghana.
We're assuming Ghana. Thanks,
the actual chocolate is from Ghana. I don't know where it was packaged from, but...
Ooh, it smells delicious, and it has... It's
kind of
like
hard as a rock.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
It's dark
it has
chocolate.
That kind of powder, that kind of powdered chocolate to it. Mm.
Oh, this is some nice dark chocolate. This is a little bitter. I like it. I like it bitter. Just like my women. Mm.
I like it because it's not this. Well, thank you, Dario. We love you. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at tutufreaks.com. That's our podcast website. And on that website, you will find our Amazon link, which you can use to order through Amazon. If you are one of those Amazon people, which almost everybody is, I assume, these days, and we get a little bounty for that. We are also on Facebook. And if you join the Two True Freaks Facebook page, you'll see everybody posting up their new episodes. And you can talk about those episodes. And if you just want to talk about stuff, nerd stuff, you can go to the Two True Freaks Cantina and join that. And that's where we talk about that stuff. And a bunch of our podcasters have their own Facebook pages and groups that you can join and go into more specifics there. And in Twitter, we have, by the legendary, the unimpeachable Gene Hendricks runs our Twitter account, TutuFreaks at Twitter.
Let me see if I can do this. It is run by Gene. Gene!
Yes, you can. The answer is yes. Yes, you can. And it is run by Gene. Gene.
The podcast machine.
But that's about it for me. What about you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account. I also, along with our episodes, I post dumb stuff like there's that meme with Bongo Cat. It's a just little cat animation of just like beating his hands and then bongos show up and then people put funny music on it. I saw one of Boba Fett, like Bongo Cat Boba Fett climbing out of the Sarlacc pit. And I was like, that's adorable, kitties. So I also repost dumb stuff. And you can definitely tell that I run it because you can tell when I post like my ships and stuff and that Chris is nowhere nearby. You can also find me at Hope Molinets. And you guys are going to be the first to hear. Chris doesn't even know this.
What?
I am working to get my website back up, geekygirlexperience.com.
Oh, boy, that's been a while, huh?
I know. I've been working on it. And I want to do, like, just, like, little blogs and reviews. There's a Ko-fi link on there. And Ko-fi is an app where if you click on it, you can, like, buy me a coffee and stuff like that. And I'm debating doing a little side hustle, but that's still in the works, so I don't know if it will happen, so don't quote me on it. And you can also find me on Archive of Our Own, which is a fan fiction website where I write a lot of Star Wars fan fiction. My main story is Forces of Gravity. It's a Thrawn fan fiction. My name on there is Chaos Lydia. But the cool thing I actually did this week, which because it's been a crazy week with work and my brain needed help, it was Eli Vanto week on Tumblr, and Eli Vanto is one of the main characters in Timothy Zahn's 2017 Thrawn novel, and it was Eli Vanto week, so I wrote a bunch of Eli Vanto one-shots that are up there now, so, yeah, yay!
Well, I hope everybody in America is recognizing Eli Vanto week.
No. He is a precious boy.
Restaurants are running specials and stuff like that, yeah.
I bought my pumpkin this week because every autumn I get a little pumpkin to sit on our front porch, and I named it Eli. And one of my followers were like, oh, that's really cute. I was like, yeah, I kind of want to get a little small pumpkin and paint it blue so it can be the Thrawn pumpkin. She was like, find one of those like purple gourds. And I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah, you can find some like purple gourd that's kind of long and thin too, like his face.
Yeah, so now I'm on the hunt for that. Like that's my next journey is to find a purple gourd to put with the Eli pumpkin. So, yep.
Hope needs her Thrawn gourd.
Be careful, that could be taken differently. We should go, we still have to do another episode. So.
Yoda says nothing. Yoda says nothing.
Yoda, we're about to record your episode. We have to do another episode now.
Yoda will be back.
Well, next week for you guys, 5 minutes for us. Bye.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email 2 True Freaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2 True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2 True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2 True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for 2 True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2 True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.